The three-piece Southern Culture on the Skids are here today, and we'll delve into all things trailer trash today with Rick Miller and company. We'll even find out the origin of the box of fried chicken on the band's rider and their no-chicken, no-show policy. Come to think of it, I better go get a bucket for them while we start off with this performance of Skull Bucket. Scott's are in the house on the World Cafe today, Southern Culture on the Skids. And I guarantee you that Rick Miller did not stick a pencil into his speaker before he got that sound.
No, I just turned it up.
That is Skull Bucket. And we tip our hat to Link Wray today. Now, the thing I always loved about this band is you kind of poke fun at trailer trash Southern Culture. But there's never any doubt that you actually love it, and that whole kind of split in how you look at things gives you the band like a totally unique viewpoint. And Rick, I'm curious, you went to art school originally, right?
Yeah, I went to UNC Chapel Hill, and got a graduate degree actually in art.
What kind of art did you do?
It was painting.
Yeah?
Yeah. But we started the band when I was there to make a little money on the side, and we used to practice out at the art lab until we got a cease and desist call from the dean of students.
Now, did the whole idea of Southern Culture on the Skids come out of the repertoire, or was it like an art school idea that came out?
It was kind of an art school idea. I mean, I grew up when I was a kid in Henderson, North Carolina. My dad always built mobile homes. So it was a part of my life, but we just did it kind of to piss people off, really. We just thought, well, how can we get some attention, because I don't know, everybody's playing REM songs, and we wanted to do kind of this raw primitive rockabilly thing, and we just, Southern Culture on the Skids, that'll piss somebody off, so it did.
Now, Mary, you're from Roanoke. Did you and Dave know each other there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave used to take my big brother out partying and...
kidnap him.
Yeah. Kind of kidnapped him, and that's how I met Dave. He was coming by the house there for a few years.
Now, how did you end up in the... You all end up in the band together. Were you a rhythm section as such at that point?
Actually, we were. We were in a college band together that did about half covers and half hits of the day, half, I don't know, original stuff.
So you were playing R.E.M. songs in your...
Pretty much.
Somehow they combined. Well, you know, if you look over even the titles of Southern Culture's albums, you know, like Dirt Track Date, et cetera, and even Mojo Box and the new one, there's all these references and all these cool Southern things. And I was wondering if you could do something. Mojo Box being the latest, can you do something from that?
Sure. We'll do the title track, Mojo Box. I got a mojo box. I got the things I say. And everything's straight. Lord, I spent mojo cologne on everything that I own. Yeah, but that I want you to be a little closer to you. I got a mojo box. I said, hey, there's a hoodoo man. I have my heartache and one hot stand. I got to get my baby back. I got to get my baby back.
Indeed. Mojo Box is done live today from Southern Culture and the Skids, who are playing live for us today on the cafe. It sounds great. You know, for a while you guys were at 4-piece, and there's something about the 3-piece that just sounds fabulous. I mean, it was nice to have a keyboard player and stuff, I'm sure, for you guys a little bit, but this is primal. This is definitely...
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I don't think, man, rock and roll, let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know. It's good. 3-piece is good. Nobody steps on anybody's toes, you know. Less fights in the van.
It's true. Everybody can have their own.
We can all sleep in one bed in a hotel.
Exactly. Well, let's see. Let's put this three-piece band, Mojo Box. Gosh, that leads me to eight-piece box for some reason. I bring that up because one of the things that that the band is famous for is the famous Chicken Rider. Feeding the audience is kind of like the loaves and fishes when you guys throw out the fried chicken in concert. Did that come up spontaneously to begin with?
It did. It came up. We were playing. I mean, there was nobody there. Everybody, there was like five guys at the bar and one girl.
Harrisonburg, Virginia.
And they were all trying to go home with the one girl. Nobody was paying attention to us. We were playing in there was a big picture window where we were playing at a Mexican restaurant. And literally, the guy gave us a bucket of chicken for our dinner buyout. Ooh. And it was sitting by the stage. And a homeless guy came in off the street and started eating our chicken, our dinner, out of the box. And we just said, hey, if you're going to eat our dinner, dance with us. So he got up and did this little, I don't know, sort of a homeless shuffle thing. But it was really good when he was eating a piece of chicken. The crowd went nuts. At least those five guys started watching us, and the one girl came up close to the stage. So we thought, why don't we do this every night for a while and see what happens? And it became kind of tradition.
Are there some clubs that don't fulfill the rider of the box of chicken?
No, it says no chicken, no show right on the rider. Now, that's because we almost got held up in Mobile, Alabama, trying to get chicken after 10 o'clock at night. So we figured if one of us got shot, it would be bad, but if a promoter got shot, it wouldn't be bad.
Hear that, club owners. any particular chicken your favorite, or does it matter?
I don't know. What do you guys like?
Bones and Buddies in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Yeah, we do. We try to do the indie chicken thing.
Right. Absolutely. But who does your research for you? I guess you have to do your own research.
We have to do our own taste testing, yes.
Yeah. Have you guys ever thought of doing a Southern Culture cookbook? Have you ever done anything like that?
We've got recipes on the website, actually.
You do?
We do.
Yeah.
Scotts.com.
And what's the latest recipe up there? Do you remember?
I don't know, because I haven't looked recently. My favorite's the bologna cups, but my wife put that one in.
Uh-huh.
I think there's actually a recipe for possum on there that looks for real. Like, if you had a possum, this would walk you through the process.
No, poor possum.
We'll try to maybe we'll scavenge one of your recipes and put them on our site so people can get an idea of what's on those.
There's several good recipes for banana pudding, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Being a famous Scots tune.
Yeah, they old and bold.
Southern Culture on the Skids are our guests today. Rick Miller, what's up next?
I'd like to do one. You know, this year's been kind of tough. We took a couple hits, man, with a lot of our heroes passing away. And one of them was Hazel Atkins. And I don't know if anybody knows about the Hayes, but he was from West Virginia. He was kind of a one-man band, kind of crazy. We played with him a lot. One time he sat in my front yard, and I live in the woods, and he told me how to eat everything in my front yard.
Wow.
And we were talking about bugs. He loved bugs. So we wrote a little tune kind of for Hazel. It's called Cicada Rock. And I think this year was the year of cicadas, or last year or something. But it's a little bit crazy. It goes like this. You ready, Dave?
Yep. What's that buzz? What's that buzz up around my head? What's that buzz? We'll be right back.
Southern Culture on the Skids are playing live today, and that is Cicada Rock, and paying a little tribute to Hizzle Atkins. I don't know if he would see it quite that way, but he might.
Oh, no. Hazel loved it. He loved all kinds. He was crazy. He was fun.
Now, are there a lot of characters like that out there? I'm trying to think of there were some, you know, rockabilly characters like Charlie Feathers and stuff who were kind of odd guys out there. Anybody left doing that that you guys know about?
Ah, golly, you know, I'm sure there is, but, I mean, right off the bat, I probably couldn't tell you. I mean, because there were some great ones that have gone, like Ronnie Dawson was just incredible, and he's gone now. Hazel, Link. Link and Hazel were just two of my big ones, though, because they were just so raw, you know. They were just that backwoods thing going.
Now, did Hazel ever do much recording?
He did a lot of recording, actually, on his own. And we played with him one time on a tour, and he told us, he said, "Rick, I want to be on your record label." And we were just on a little record label. And he said, "I'm going to send you some songs." And about 2 weeks after the tour ended, I got a cardboard box that had over 144 songs in it, all on quarter-inch reel-to-reel tape.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we had to clean the peanut butter and the snack crackers out of those things. But we finally got it, we picked out, I think, 16 of them. And it really great because up until that time, he'd been kind of known for, like, Boo Boo the Cat or No More Hot Dogs and kind of the crazy thing. But he did a lot of country western stuff on this. We did that. But anyway, long story short, the record label went out of business before we could put it out.
Oh, that's too bad.
So it's horrible because he used to call me up. He didn't have a phone. He'd call me up on the payphone outside of a truck stop. Mm-hmm. And every time a truck would take off, it's, "Oh, Rick, I can't hear you, buddy. Hold on. So, you know, these 10-minute phone calls would end up being, you know, 2 hours.
Oh, man. So do you still have the masters of that? Or?
No, I sent them back to him. We did it all, and I sent it all back to him. And I think it came out, some of it came out on a record call, I believe, Moon Over Madison, I think, on maybe Norton Records.
Cool. Hazel Atkins. Southern Culture and the Skids, our guests. And what do you guys want to finish up with?
Well, we wanted to finish up with a little tune that is special for our Philadelphia area fans. We were on the road back in the 80s, 90s, well, not that long ago. We were always broke, and we would find these hotels in every little corner of the country where we could stay for like about 20 bucks a night. And anytime we had a gig within 3 hours, 4 hours, it was worth our while if we had 2 days off to drive to wherever this was and stay there. Well, one of them was right here in Philadelphia. It was the George Washington Motor Inn, I believe.
Motor Lodge.
Motor Lodge, yes. And I mean, it was like 20 bucks a night, I think. The light fixtures were hanging out of the ceiling. You know what I mean? They had a dried up pool, indoor pool, I believe. With a bunch of furniture in the bottom of it, but no water. You know what I mean? And each room had a little smoker out in front of it or a cooker. So, you know, people were staying there for more than a couple nights and stuff. And I don't know. It was great fun, though.
Well, you know? So Southern culture doesn't necessarily have to be in the South.
Oh, no. It goes all over the world, buddy. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You just got to look for it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Anyway, this one's called Cheap Motels.
Rock and when the clothes on the bar, then the walls get tight. Stores, it's it, loading on the roof on the machine. Keep it hush hush, cause you never can tell who you'll see walk around a cheap motel. I got a cigarette burned on the table by the bed. King James Bible has never been read. The walls can talk, man, the stories they tell. Holding out the roof on a cheap motel. Holding out the roof on a cheap motel. Just a
Cheap Motel's finishing up our session today with Scott, Southern Culture on the Skids. Thanks to Dave Harbin, Mary Huff, and Mr. Rick Miller for joining us, as always. A real treat. Good to
Thank
see you.
You
guys.
Thank you, Big
Thank
Dave.
You very much.
Thanks for rocking us up north. We'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.